grace, mercy, and peace be to you
from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the epistle reading today, and especially the last verse of that reading in the context of hearing it read a few moments ago, but where Paul, inspired by God, wrote these words, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." And you know, when I think about this verse and God describing us as fellow workers, I think about team. And I looked up in Wikipedia just a definition for team. And here's a little bit of a synopsis of that definition. A team is a group of individuals working together to achieve their goal. Teams normally have members with complementary skills and generate synergy through a coordinated effort which allows each member to maximize their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. That's a definition of team. Fellow workers, God's fellow workers, team. And it can mean sacrifice. And I'd like to use an example near and dear to me of a football player I followed years ago, Roger Craig. Played for Nebraska in the early 80s, and Roger Craig in his junior year ran over 1,000 yards rushing. He was on at the top of the list as a Heisman prospect for the next season. And then Coach Osborne calls Roger into the office, and he says, "Roger, can you speak the word fullback without choking on the word?" And he said, "We've got an incredible running back we've recruited, and Roger, you are one of the best blockers on our team, and we need you to block for him." And Roger's probably not too excited about that. The guy's name was Mike Rozier. First season, Roger blocking for him, he had about 1,600 yards of rushing, was on the top 10 candidates for the Heisman Trophy, and the next year, not Roger Craig, but Mike Rozier gets the Heisman Trophy, and Roger kind of goes out of college football, known but not well known by most. Today, in the mindset of a lot of players, he probably would have transferred and said, "Hey, I'm a talented guy. I'm going to go where I can be recognized and I can get those 1,000 yards of rushing." But what an example of a team spirit. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has a team plan for all of us together here in this room as family of localized Trinity here or other congregations that are represented here among us this morning. But where God has placed us, we are in a team plan together, and certainly the church worldwide collectively by God's design. And we are very blessed as God's people to live under this plan. But it's so important for us to recognize it's not our plan, but it's His plan. It is His layout and design. He is the one that is totally in charge, not you and me. It is His kingdom. It is His plan. And the wonderful good news is that the Almighty God chooses to include us in this incredible plan. You know, there's some beautiful passages in Scripture that really bring this truth to fruition before us. One is Psalm 100, verse 3, where we hear, "Know that the Lord, He is God." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's where it all starts. Know that the Lord, He is God. In other words, He's the one in charge. He is the Almighty. We are the servants. And then the psalmist goes on to write, "It is He who made us, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." Apart from God, what do we have? Absolutely nothing. We would not even exist. But it is totally by God's grace that we are even living here upon the face of the earth, let alone one of His precious possessions and being included in His plan. In Colossians 1:10, and I'm throwing verse 9 in there for a context, but, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." There again is the foundation, seeking God's will. He's in charge. It is His plan. "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." That's quite a calling, isn't it? Boy, there's a lot to chew on right there for the rest of today or this week, just in that verse alone. But there's a laid out design and plan that the Lord has for you and me. And the bottom line is the Lord wants us to bear fruit. In other words, the good works that we do that'll bring a blessing to the community in which we live. Ephesians 2:10, just so incredible when you think about these words. Again, God reminding us that we are His workmanship. Again, He's the one giving the gift. He's the one honoring us. He is the one in charge. It is His plan. And we are blessed to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then look at that, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is so incredible. Have you ever really chewed on those words very long? That God has this plan laid out for you and me individually. He's got specific work for each one of us to do. We don't even know what it is yet. But God's got this path laid out for us individually as a family here at Trinity collectively and as the church worldwide even more collectively. But it's a preordained plan. It isn't just by chance or accident, but God is working incredible things in the world, and we're blessed to be a part of that. And so God graciously includes His church, the body of believers, to carry out this incredible plan. And so as God's people, in light of this, we really are team. We have a common goal. But you know, this is the opposite of the way our sinful flesh thinks. And our sinful nature doesn't like this team mentality, and certainly our sinful nature doesn't want anything to do with God's will. Remember, we as believers are saint and sinner, and so we have that sinful nature that still hangs on, tries to get our attention, tries to consume our life, and basically what it says is, I don't care about you, I just care about me, and I'm the one that wants to be in charge. And I want things done my way. That's what our sinful nature thrives on. And God certainly warns, doesn't He, in the readings just that we've heard today, about the tendencies of our sinful nature, of wanting to be in charge, of doing things our own way. In the Old Testament reading, as Moses is preparing God's people to enter the promised land and speaking on behalf of God, and Moses says, "But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them." See, that's what our sinful nature thrives on. Run after other gods, run after other things instead of the God who is the only true living God who created us. But our sinful nature wants nothing to do with God. We want to create our own gods. And then in the gospel reading, of course, boy, those were tough words this morning, weren't they, as the Lord shares them with us. But Jesus says, first be reconciled to your brother. You're right on with me here, Angela, with the children's message. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You see, our sinful nature doesn't want to reconcile. Again, we wanted our own way. And you know what happens in that is the team effort is broken. It's shattered. And now it becomes each one of us striving to do our own individual thing, our own way, and that can lead to nothing but division within the family of Christ. And we see it happen in the church. It's happened here at Trinity. And it happens everywhere because we are sinful human beings. And sometimes that ugly, sinful nature rises up and shows itself. And so instead of being in this together, we see ourselves as rivals. We get into competitions with one another and power struggles that can go on within a local congregation. And then party spirit begins to develop and you get the cliques and you get people, groups of people standing against other groups of people. And it may not be real evident, but under the table it's going on. And it really can totally destroy an individual and a congregational ministry life as well. And that was what was going on at Corinth. You had those saying, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. And so you had these little groups within the body of Christ that were no longer following Christ, but they were rallying around human leaders among them, even though Paul and Apollos were not getting them or attempting to get them to do this. Paul is actually confronting it here. You see, in this team effort, as God has designed it, as fellow workers, it's not about me, but it's about He. It's about God and His will and His plan, because again, it's only by His grace that we're blessed to be on His team. Otherwise, we would be out there in the lost world doing our own thing. Did you hear it? We are God's field. You know, in a commentary, I found a beautiful description of God's field, and it goes like this. You are God's field or tillage. He is the proprietor of the field, the occupier of it, the husbandman who breaks up the fallow ground of the hearts of His people. He casts in the seed of His grace. He makes the ground good. He causes it to bring forth fruit. The churches of Christ are His property, land of His fertilizing, and all the fruit belongs to Him. They are gardens of His planting and vineyards of His watering, in which He keeps night and day. Isn't that a beautiful description? And that's who we are blessed to be by God's grace. We are included in being fellow workers, God's field and God's building. We are part of the building, part of the church, as the Lord often in Scripture uses that analogy. In 1 Peter, for instance, chapter 2, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Isn't that beautiful? To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's who we are called to be. Roger Craig made a sacrifice for the team, but this is at a whole nother level that you and I are called to make spiritual sacrifices in order to faithfully strive to follow God's will. And humbling, isn't it? Because the attention now isn't on me or you or anyone else, but the focus is where it needs to be, upon God whose team we belong to. And realizing apart from Him, we are nothing and we can do absolutely nothing. So it's about He, not me. We are blessed. We are blessed to be God's precious possession. It's how we became part of this team. It's how we became part of the body of Christ. We weren't seeking it out, nor did we even have the ability to do that. But God sought you and me out. And again, some beautiful passages. 1 Corinthians 1. verses 4 through 9. And by the way, these are all in the bulletin again if you want to look these up sometime this week. But Paul writes, as God inspired these words, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." There it's emphasized again, because of the grace of God. "That in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge." So the Lord is the one that is working in the hearts of every individual. There's nothing we can bring to the table and say, "I did that." It's God working through us with what he provides. "And even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift." And isn't that incredible that God provides the local family of Christ every gift we need in order to serve him in this incredible plan? "As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a testimony from heaven that you and I, as children of God, who have been brought in by his grace, we are guiltless. Even though we are sinners and worthy of all kind of guilt, God absolves us. We are forgiven. The guilt is washed away. "God is faithful, by whom you were called," and here it is, "into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." We are so incredibly honored and blessed. I think we all need to look at each other and say that this morning. Just pick somebody out in the crowd. "You know what, Sharon? We are so honored and blessed, aren't we?" Yeah. We're not rivals here, or shouldn't be. But as we look at each other, we can celebrate the blessing that God bestows upon one another. We are here in this together. We are ones who know redemption, that Jesus, through his shed blood at the cross, he held himself fully accountable for our sin. He paid for it with his shed blood. He bought us back. We are redeemed. And in so doing, we are reconciled. That broken relationship has been restored. And we are blessed to be in the family of the Lord. And with that comes transformation. This is all God's doing, which is really awesome. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, talk about a description of the church in these words. "You are a chosen race." I'm looking at royalty out here as I look over this congregation, because here it is, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation," and there it is again, "a people for his own possession." We are the possession of the Almighty God. Doesn't get any better than that, guys. "That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That's a description of every one of us in this room. That is something, really, isn't it, to celebrate, because we are a people belonging to God so that we may go forth and proclaim his praises. Not about me, but about he. And when we do that together, what a testimony in the community. And so we get back to this workmanship, or working together in his kingdom. You know, it's the Lord's business. He furnishes the ability for the work as well as the opportunities. God lays all of this out for us. And this is what he's really stating in that term, that title, fellow workers. You know, at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're looking at chapter 3 today, but chapter 1, verse 10, we see these words. "I appeal to you, brothers," and by the way, brothers and sisters, children of God, it's the church. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Boy, there's a handful in that passage, isn't there? But the key words, agreement, and that's in doctrine. And praise God for being part of a denominational that's a confessional church body, and that we together, not only in our local congregations here in this area of the Missouri Synod, but throughout the nation and throughout the world, we are united. We are in agreement in understanding God's word. And with that, there are to be no divisions, no schisms, but we are to be one together. And you see the word united, and that's the purpose. If we're all focused on God, then we are united because he is one and he has his plan and purpose for us. And being of the same mind. By the way, that doesn't mean we all think the same or we all look at a problem in the same way. No, it means we bring all our ideas to the table, but the same-mindedness among us is respect for one another. That we have the mind of Christ among us, that we genuinely love one another, and we can lay all the ideas on the table and together, prayerfully, seek a solution to whatever God's will is in that matter. And that comes down to that same judgment. Quite the opposite, isn't it, of what our sinful nature wants. We're not in this in a competitive way. We're not in this in a power struggle. We're not in this as being rivals of one another. But we are in harmony. And you know, harmony depends on faithfulness to Christ first and foremost. Not chasing our own agendas or ideas. It's kind of like that team spirit of Roger Craig. And the rest of the story with Roger, his senior year, only had 500 yards rushing. And sorry, 49ers fans, about the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. That was quite a game, wasn't it? Well, years ago in Super Bowl, it was in 1985, I forget which number that was for Super Bowls, but the 49ers beat the Dolphins. And guess who one of their star running backs was? Roger Craig. In fact, up to that point, he was the only player that scored 3 touchdowns in a single Super Bowl. Do you think God blessed Roger down the road? You know why he was drafted by the 49ers? He could block. And he ended up becoming a star running back as well. We don't know all the details in God's plan. But what we do know is God's directive that we seek him and that he will bless us. And boy, at Trinity, Redeemer, wherever we are blessed to be serving, God is doing incredible things among us. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we grow in the spirit of this unity that is laid before us this morning, rejoicing in the opportunity to serve and honored to be fellow workers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.